This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang, my colleague and co-host and friend. The headline, The Economic Times. J.P. Morgan Chase CEO Jamie Dimon warns World War III has already begun. Mentions China and Russia. That is an alarming headline, so we need to explicate. Gordon and I welcome Jonathan Ward, senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, author most recently of The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. Jonathan, a very good day to you. Mr. Dimon is head of the solar system's largest bank. As I recall, J.P. Morgan Chase has done business on all the major occupied continents for decades, very successfully. Is there some point we can look to in these last years where Mr. Dimon moved from doing business in China to worrying about China and Russia as beginning an apocalyptic era? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Good evening, Gordon. Well, look, I think Jamie Dimon has been probably my favorite example of a major league business leader who's changed his view of geopolitics, I think really gotten the bigger picture. And as I recall this, because there was a time where I thought he was making very conventional comments about geopolitical risk, not understanding it. But after Ukraine, I think you started to see his own tone shift a lot and begin to see the bigger picture, realize that this stuff is connected. But J.P. Morgan continues to point out that it's been doing business in China for 100 years. I think they've celebrated that anniversary recently. Their head of Asia Pacific, is on record this year saying, look, China is too big to ignore. You have to do business there, even if nothing more than to know what's going on. But bottom line, what I'd like to see at this point is for the business leaders that are starting to speak publicly about these issues to also realign their businesses away from this axis towards the U.S. and the free world, and to be part of the solution that it's going to take, because it's going to take all of our business leaders working together, as in prior conflicts, to win this one, whether it whether we have the chance to win it peacefully and strategically, or whether it does, as he seems to believe, turn the corner into real war.
Gordon, you have a question for Jonathan.
Jonathan, in the late 1930s, there were separate conflicts around the world that merged into what we now call World War II. Do you think that the conflicts that we see today, Ukraine, North Africa, Israel, will they merge as well into World War III? Apart from what Jamie Dimon thinks, what do you think?
Right. Look, what I think, Gordon, is that we still have the opportunity to prevent this from becoming World War III. I mean, my view has always been you have to earn Cold War II. I mean, if we want this to be a Cold War, not a hot global war, we're going to have to do the work, the strategic work, to maintain deterrence, to start to cut off the Axis economies and do all that. I think it hasn't yet begun because China has not yet initiated war in Asia. I mean, they are supporting Putin's war. They are supporting Iran. The whole picture is coming together in Ukraine. Now you have North Korean troops there. I mean, Chinese financing of the war. You have Iranian drone factories. I mean, I think it's all interconnected. But until China unless China initiates war in the Pacific, which, by the way, they are preparing to do that, then I don't think it's yet World War III. On the other hand, as a historian, if that were to happen, it would not be at that moment that we start to talk about it. I mean, all of this would have been the prelude to the real outbreak of global conflict. And it goes back to me a long way. I mean, the Russia-China coordination when Putin first invaded Ukraine and seized Crimea, and China at the same time was building its islands in the South China Sea. I mean, this is 10 years already in the making. So as a historian, I would start the clock back then. But I think the U.S. and our allies still have a waning window in which to prevent the real outbreak of a global conflict.
The reckless Chinese economy, that would logically suggest that China's in no position to start a war, especially because it can't finish it. However, reading the 1930s, Charles Lindbergh's diary, you know that Lindbergh became one of the advocates for no war in Europe for America. We don't need to go there. Europe is always going to fight these wars. And he was very logical, and then chastised himself in his diary afterwards, saying, I was logical, I was correct, but that's not how people think. They're intuitive. They make decisions that are counterproductive sometimes. You have to take that into account. Is that possible in China, that with the ruined economy and the disgraced leadership, this is a moment for war?
Well, John, I think traditionally there are plenty of examples of countries go into war because, to distract from unrest at home or in order to deal with other factors. So I think it is a real consideration. But, you know, as I've tried to point out in all of my work, especially China's vision of victory, I mean, the Communist Party of China is not operating on the same logic that the U.S. or that a free country would. I mean, they see, going to war as part of their great rejuvenation of the Chinese nation, as part of the real ideology of ultimate victory. And it's up to us to prevent that. I mean, it wouldn't, I think, come to us because the economy is too weak. I think it would happen because they're successful that way, or because they find themselves so backed into a corner that the risk increases. But bottom line, I mean, this is a country that's been preparing for war with the United States. It's building its core structures accordingly. It's telling us it's going to do that. I mean, it's all absolutely clear. So I think what we have to focus on really is strategic superiority, military superiority, and economic containment of China. Those things to me are what allows us an opportunity to prevent this by simply having greater strength than the adversaries, and by terminating the economic trajectory that allows them to finance global grand strategy. So we have to shut down our economic engagement with China to the maximum possible extent so that they are simply do not have the capital resources to have a global grand strategy or to successfully conclude military modernization. So that's all still, I think, within the window of possibility. In the decisive decade, I mean, we have this moment in time in which we could complete a successful grand strategy that would hopefully earn us a much longer peace in the ability to compete strategically worldwide to maintain our military superiority and therefore prevent conflict. But also part of that is, as you've heard me say often, that we will have to engage our major business leaders. The U.S. economy, I mean, the full power of the U.S. economy is not to be found in Washington, D.C. or in strategic policymaking. It's, you know, a lot of that is in the C-suites and boards of our major companies, and we need them on the American side for the long-term competition with China.
We have 1 minute, Gordon. Quick question.
Jonathan, isn't it really up to government, up to the political system to tell business that they can't invest and do business with China?
Well, sure. And there's a Jamie Dimon quote that became popular in recent years where he says, look, I'm going to be anywhere in the world until my government tells me not to. And when my government tells me not to, I won't be there. So absolutely, government has to set the guardrails and the limits on corporate engagement with China. And we have to do that now, because that's right, they can't really exit without the right rules and laws, because competitors will stay in and all the rest of it. So government has a very important role to play in guiding the private sector, but ultimately we're all going to need to work as one American system.
Jonathan Ward, a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute, author most recently of The Decisive Decade, American Grand Strategy for Triumph Over China. Gordon Chang, at Gordon G. Chang. Gordon's new book, Plan Red, China's Plan to Defeat America.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.